Hey, Curtis.
Hey, Oz.
What movie marriage you got for us this week?
Another In the Flesh episode.
Yeah. He's right here.
Ow! Ow! No touch!
It's not a hologram.
No. This week's movie marriage, we have the horror movie VHS.
Ooh.
Plus some conspiracy theory. Add in some adaptation.
Okay.
A pinch of Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
As well as a family video membership. This week, we're talking about Be Kind, Rewind.
Did you ever work at a video store?
I did. I actually worked at a family video for about 3 weeks. The Mantino, Illinois family video. Well, when I was working three jobs at once.
I didn't for like 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks, and it just wasn't my cup of tea.
No, what was it about Family Video that caused you?
Without going into detail, because I still sort of associate with the local manager I had there. We just didn't quite see.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like it disgruntled like an antagonistic relationship, but it was just I don't know. Like I just didn't feel comfortable there.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I worked at three video stores.
Yes. Yeah, you've toured the video stores.
Yeah, Blockbuster, a Hollywood, and a Family. And I actually enjoyed Family Video the most. Okay. It was the least, like, pushy sales-y.
Sure.
And it was easy to manipulate. Like, not that I'm a manipulative person, yeah. But it was like they had these, like, movie passes, like, movie clubs, like, $10 a month for half-price rentals, etc. And I was just really good at convincing people to buy those. You know, I just was really good at.
Sure.
So, like, I know there was 1 month I was, like, number two in the entire company was selling those things.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so we got, like, a dollar kickback every time you sold one. And so I was like, yeah. And that was back in my burning DVD phase where it was, like, I figured out a way to juke that system, too,
yes.
Where I could get free movie rentals. And I'd come home with, like, 16 movies at a time and bring them all back like 3 days later.
Yeah.
So, welcome back, listeners and viewers, to another episode of Let's Talk About Flicks, the weekly podcast where we have a monthly theme, this month being rhyming titles.
Rhyming titles.
And I'm one of your hosts, Oz.
I am the other host, Curtis.
And we are back to talk about, like you said, Be Kind, Rewind.
Be Kind, Rewind. Fun movie.
It really is a
very
fun movie.
Fun movie.
It's got a heart, too.
It does. Which is very sweet.
Yeah. You know, it could have been zany and goofy and off the wall and still effective.
And it was zany and goofy. But,
But yeah, it really kind of reined it in to keep that heartfelt neighborhood feel to it, which was nice. So, your movie this month.
Yes, I got the plot. So, who is in this movie?
We've got... It's actually a decent cast of people that show up. You know, some names would lead you to believe it is more comedic than, and it is a comedy, but still, it's a comedy with heart. But we've got Mos Def is really our main character, Mike, and his best friend by default, really.
Yes, because he's there.
Yeah,
forced to be his best friend.
Yeah, Jack Black playing a man named Jerry who, you know, kudos to Jerry's character because his life was awful, you know, awful. And still just got up every day happy to see the world.
Just happy to be there.
We got Danny Glover as Mike's boss at the video store that you'll get into.
Basically just redoing the Murtaugh here.
Yeah. Playing Mr. Fletcher, Elroy Fletcher. We got Mia Farrow in a just kind of out of nowhere
Sweet little role.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of Mia Farrow. I mean, granted, this movie is, 2008? You know, but it's like she was kind of out of her prime by quite a ways. But yeah, real sweet role here. She plays Miss Followitz. Then we've got, you know, another kind of neighborhood partner in crime, Melanie Diaz playing Alma. You've got some other people that are just around. But other notable cast are, you know, Matt Walsh plays a police officer. Yep. But not funny.
Yeah.
He's just a police officer.
Just there, yeah.
Paul Danilo plays Mr. Rooney, but not funny.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just, you see these actors, like, oh!
Geoffrey Jellyday.
Yeah, there he is. He's from Strangers with Candy.
The guy from Upright Citizens.
Yeah, they're just not funny. We get kind of a weird, really, I thought it was weird, like, Sigourney Weaver pop in.
Yeah.
Which was fine. Like, But it was just weird because of some of the earlier reference that they made in the movie and then don't tie that. Like when you saw it, like what, I forgot she was in the movie. And so when she come in, I immediately was like, oh, they're going to have fun with this because I'd forgotten. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, they don't.
No, they don't call it out.
Yeah, she's just in a movie.
Yeah, she's corporate baddie.
Yeah, yeah, she's basically just corporate baddie. But she's in a movie that spoofs a movie of hers, and they make no reference to it. It's just a weird.
You look a lot like Dana.
Yeah, it could have just been that, you know, one of that, just quick throwaway. No, nothing there. Yep. And then really, that's about it. There's just not a whole lot of cast. I mean, you got a lot of neighborhood folk.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of those folks actually lived in that community as well.
So. Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
So, and that's it for the cast. What do you got for the plot?
As far as the plot, we open on with a narration stating that Passaic, New Jersey is where jazz really thrived.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily Harlem.
No. Just across the river over in Passaic, New Jersey.
Passaic, New Jersey, also the home of pop punk.
British pop punk.
Brit pop punk.
Yeah. K-pop.
K-pop, yeah.
Passaic, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's known as P-pop there.
Yeah.
But it's still Korean pop.
Yeah, well, it's I've always heard it as K-pop because it's a hard C.
Yeah.
Passaic. So it's like there's the K sound,
K-pop. Even though it's spelled with a C,
it
translates as a K.
Yeah, yeah. It's English barriers.
Yeah. English is a wonderful language, folks. we see there's someone narrating there, and we recognize that it's Elroy Fletcher.
Yeah.
Danny Glover's character narrating with Mike, again, played by Mos Def, or is it Yassine Bey?
Yeah.
Is how he identifies now. Yeah.
Yep.
And Jerry Jack Black, they're recording on screen. And we see some kind of like really low budget stuff going on in the scene they're filming. You know, there's like cardboard, like old time cars going by. And you're kind of like what's going on here?
Very low budget, but also like very well produced low budget.
Yeah. Well done, low budget.
Hollywood's definition of low budget. Like it's like picture perfect illustrations on cardboard.
Yeah, they got a great illustrator on set there.
Yeah, it definitely was Hollywood low-budget film.
Yes. Mike, in this film, within the film at the beginning, where you're still kind of figuring out, you know, like what's going on here, you know, the Mike character is also playing Fats Waller, the supposed local jazz legend. And we see behind Elroy, behind Mr. Fletcher, we see the Be Kind Rewind store.
Mm-hmm.
Then in present day, Mike and Jerry are graffiti painting an overpass right across the street from the video store that Mike actually works at, that Fletcher owns and that Jerry frequents, to the chagrin of Mr. Fletcher.
Right.
Jerry's very, very paranoid person, which is where my conspiracy theory in my movie Marriage came in. He lives in a local junkyard.
Yeah, he's got an RV of sorts.
Mm-hmm. So they never really go into that in too much detail. No. Not that you really had to.
No, but Jerry's homeless.
Yes, and he's kind of an eccentric character.
Yeah.
Gets by, you know, with the locals.
He lives in a junkyard that like borders like a power station.
Yes, that's right.
So it's like he's constantly got like foil on his head, because
he's afraid that, you know, even, like the government is reading his
thoughts. Even when Mike and Mr. Fletcher come over to Jerry's, they're wearing like strainers. Like it's just. If you're over here,
this is what you do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You put this pot on your head,
and you just pretend it's not there.
Mm-hmm. We cut to Mr. Fletcher at the housing and zoning office, the local office there, and they tell him that, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you got 60 days to come up with, was it a couple $100,000?
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least something like that. Yeah, 60 days for a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. Whatever the lot of money was.
More than he's going to make renting the 15 videotapes
VHS in the year 2008.
Right, yeah.
And they're going to move him, like, we're going to provide you a new place for your business.
Yeah.
And they even call it in a slum.
Yeah, they just call it,
the projects.
Like, there's nothing wrong with relocating to the projects. Which, to a white middle class person has a whole different connotation than to a probably lower class African American.
But again, it with him, it's not so much moving to the quote projects. It's that this is where he's always been.
Yeah.
This is his home. There's the emotional and historical connection with Fats Waller.
Right.
You know, and this is his place of business. He's a part of this community. And you know, and he immediately wonders, like, how am I going to tell Mike? Because Mike is his only employee.
Right.
Back at the shop, Elroy asks Mike to watch the store for a night. I'm going to go catch up with some friends who are also big Fats Waller fans. Mm-hmm. We're going to get together. I need you to watch the store for one night.
Right.
Whatever you do, don't let Jerry in.
Yeah. But he writes it, like, holds up the sign backwards.
Yeah, like Mike walks him to a train station and like Fletcher's getting on the train and he writes it like on a post-it note. He
writes it to himself.
Yes.
So it's backwards to Mike.
So like a fun sequence of Mike trying to figure out what it is that he said. And finally he realizes it's keep Jerry out is the message that But it's too late, yes. So Jerry, of course, being paranoid, he wants to take out this power station that's right next door to the junkyard.
Because that'll solve all the problems.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So he recruits Mike to, like let's go and break it and take out this power station.
He's got a grappling hook. And
yes. Mike initially goes along with it. Yeah. There's a fun little scene of them climbing over this chain link fence.
That was cool. Yeah.
And, you know, credit Michel Gondry, you know, the director of this. He's just got such a creative eye.
Yeah, very visionary director.
Yes, literally.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And, so they're climbing over this fence. And, you know, Jerry, of course, you know, he did his homework to his credit. And he knows exactly what the, like, perspective looks like. So he paints himself to look like a chain link fence.
Right, which at first makes him look like he's just in blackface.
Yes, and the first time I saw this, I was like, where is this going?
Yeah.
But then you get it later on, and he climbs over the fence, and the cops come, and he just sticks his face up to the fence. It
fills in the gaps. And, yeah. It's perfect. And, so even with his eyes, like, wide open.
Yeah. And Mike, they painted to look like a sign.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that the cops would come when he's halfway up this ladder.
Yeah, and he stops, and it blends in perfectly.
It's, yeah, really, really, really fun.
Doesn't hurt that Matt Walsh is the police officer.
Yeah. Doesn't quite put two and two.
Right.
What's this ladder doing?
Yeah, no one even commented on the ladder. Yeah. It was just, but it worked.
Mike then backs out. He's like, I'm having second thoughts. I don't want anything to do with this. Jerry, of course, goes forth with it. And he does something to this, you know, this plant equipment.
I think he just made it mad. Like, it didn't really appear like he did anything to damage it. It just attacked him.
It's like the furnace in the basement of Home Alone.
Yeah, or the Bumpus Hounds or something. Like, you didn't do anything to provoke them. You're just anger them.
Yeah, and we do actually get a special effects sequence.
Yeah, we do. It's a pretty good one.
Where it's basically like Jamie Foxx. Like becoming Electro in Amazing Spider-Man 2, where Jerry's just like being levitated by this like ambient electricity.
Right, just coming from everywhere.
So the next day, you know, like Mike's trying to kick this disheveled Jerry out of the store. He finally realizes that the sign says keep out Jerry. And so he posts all these post-it notes outside of the store, like keep out or keep Jerry out. And it turns out, you know, Jerry had been in the store and he was wandering around and he was kind of like berating.
He was chastising.
Yeah. There was another customer there, like chastising her for her like lack of film knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, the holier than now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of movie fan. And of course, he's picking up all these tapes and Mike finally kicks him out. And he goes outside and he just starts vomiting everywhere. And then he walks down the street and he starts sticking the light pole.
Like leaning towards poles. And then like the fence just like yanks him out of the...
And like he gets close to the TV at one point in the shop and the TV starts like flickering.
Yeah.
And it's just fun sequence. And so, you know, Fletcher's having a great time with his friends and they're even kind of giving him business advice in the meantime as well. Like give people what they want.
Yeah. Research and figure out what's working for your competitors and do that.
So I'm kind of skipping around in the narrative a little bit here, but just so I'm not hopping from character to character, you know, over the next several minutes, they cut back to Fletcher a couple of times and he's doing his research at a different local video store, like DVD.
Yeah. Like, he's like penning it down.
Yeah.
Like walking around a video store for like 2 hours, like just taking notes.
Yep.
It's ironic notes because it's like, you know, multiple copies of the same title.
And he's genuinely fascinated by this. Like,
and he asks the clerk for a specific movie and the clerk was like, what? And he's like, I have no general knowledge of film. Like, these are the things I need to be successful. I need workers that know nothing.
I need to be relatively ignorant.
Right.
So back at the store, you know, with Mike there and a customer comes in and says, like, I I brought this video home and there's nothing.
It was the lady that was getting chastised.
It was the lady, yeah. And it was Ghostbusters.
Yeah, this tape doesn't work.
Yes, it doesn't work. And so he just says, well, you know, I'll come back later today. And
well, he pins it on her first. Like, yeah. Well, did you, you know, and she's well, like, you, are you know, always blame your customers? Yeah,
you need to clean the VHS heads.
Yeah. Right. And he puts it in the TV and it doesn't work. Like,
yeah, it doesn't work for him either. So it's not just her equipment. So
another customer came in too. Yeah,
same thing. Same problem. Exact same thing. And so eventually, you know, Jerry comes back and he realizes that he's been magnetized and that he just deleted everything in the store.
Everything.
And so they panic for a little bit, but then Mike recruits Jerry. Like, we're just like, it's, she's never seen Ghostbusters before. So she doesn't know any different. So we're going to shoot what we think of as Ghostbusters.
Yeah, we're going to recreate Ghostbusters. Yes,
and put it in the box and swede the film.
Yeah, and rent it to her. Yeah. And she's not going to know.
Yeah. So they end up actually shooting the approximation of Ghostbusters. Mike and Jerry do. They go down to like the local library.
Yeah.
It's they shoot. You see them shooting the scene kind of in the beginning of like the ghost library and shushing them.
Yeah,
and just some of the they rig up Garland as like the strings.
Oh yeah, like a elaborate hangar kind of system for like you said, the streams and
it's really
like inspirational.
Yeah, it's an inventive the way they do it, and so they end up renting it to her, and it works enough. They do the same thing with another customer, comes in and asks for Rush Hour 2. Cut to them shooting Rush Hour 2. They're at like a playground.
Yeah. And it was just like you mentioned earlier, just really inventive and just fun. Like taking one of those like kids rugs of like roads and cars and laying that down and shooting from above. It does like, I can see
at
that.
At a glance, it looks like someone's dangling. Yeah, it looks
like,
building,
yeah, like, you know, the illusion is
over
there.
You know, still multiple stories up over a
like
street.
It works. It works.
They realize that in Rush Hour 2, there's a kissing scene.
Yeah.
And so they go to the local laundromat to recruit Alma.
To recruit her sister.
Her sister, but they end up, she's busy. You know, yeah. So Alma is all too happy to go.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love how naive all these characters are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're all sweet and genuine, but they're all a little naive as well.
This is the naivety capital of the world, Passaic, New Jersey.
It's another little fun sequence here. Jerry still isn't feeling well, so he goes out to the curb and he pees into the street.
Yeah.
And his pee is like, it's like glowing rain, and it's radioactive. It's pulling little bits of metal into it as it's streaming down the gutter.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was fun, but gross. Uh-huh. Like, get it all out, Jerry. And really, like, that was it. Like it kind of, that was the last bit of it. Like,
yes.
The rest of it, like, that was a nice way for them to, like, get rid of his magnetism.
Yes. So, folks, if you ever find yourself magnetized at a power station, just urinate as quickly as you can.
And you
just pee the radioactivity out of you.
That's your PSA.
Yeah. The more you know.
Yeah, we put the pee in PSA.
Later, Miss Fallowitz's nephew and his pals come by.
They're angry bunch of boys.
Yeah, they are. With Ghostbusters, and they ask, hey, what else do you have?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They love it.
They enjoy the sweeted version of Ghostbusters. And so they charge up $20 for sweeted versions of Lion King and RoboCop.
Well, yeah, because they all picked a movie. Yeah. But they're like, we can't do all this. So,
they put them all in a bag and they made them pick two.
And Alma sneaks Lion King in there.
So it cuts to them shooting an animated version of Lion King or Lion King 2.
Yeah.
Depending on which one of them you're asking.
Exactly.
we see them shooting RoboCop. And again, this is all like the lowest of low budget.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just, you could see Jerry just going to the scrapyard and making it.
Yeah, a RoboCop. I found a broken football helmet and an old hairdryer. Now I'm RoboCop.
I will shoot you and I know robot karate. And as the movie keeps going, you know, like these other community members end up becoming a part of the production.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Fallowitz gets involved, her nephew and his friends get involved. You know, there's like kids in the neighborhood that get involved and things. And it really becomes this like shared community experience.
Right. Well, because they all have movies they want to see sweeted.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like Mike's thing is like, you gotta help. Like, I can't, we can't do all this for all of you without your help.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's at this point, it transitions from, it's really not even about the film they're renting anymore. It's about being part of something.
Yes. And that's what it is. It's being a part of a community, being part of a creative process, even taking something that exists and, you know, like making it your own.
Yeah.
And this is where the movie does really get sweet. And you see how bonded these people become and how passionate they become about, you know, this creation, as well as just each other and supporting each other.
As Followitz wanted, then she went driving Miss Daisy. Which the most, it's almost like breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
there was a couple moments where
I don't know if this is such a good idea. Right.
And it turns out, and jumping ahead a little bit, the movie later on, her and Mr. Fletcher
are redoing Danny Glover
and Mia Farrow doing Driving Miss Daisy. another just little fun moment here as I'm looking back at my notes. Jerry pouts about wanting a trailer as he's making For Your Consideration flyers.
Yeah,
he thinks he's really considered himself like an actor.
He's top talent at this point. Someone reminds him, you have a trailer, but I want a trailer next to my trailer. Yeah.
we get another fun montage. We're clearly in act two here of them shooting When We Were Kings.
Yeah, this montage was really impressive.
Yes, 2001 A Space Odyssey, King Kong, Carrie, Men in Black.
But it just, like, the camera motion flows from one to the next. Like, it felt almost like an OK Go music video.
Yeah.
Of just keep the camera moving and we'll just keep putting things in front of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no cuts. It's just straight to the next scene. It was really
cool. It works really, again, Michel Gondry, which is that vision he has to pull that kind of stuff off.
Was he music video director?
He was. He actually beat me to it. I had one of the first DVDs I bought back in the early 2000s when I had a DVD player for the first time.
Thanks, Bernie.
Was a collection of Michel Gondry videos. And it was like Beastie Boys and I think Bjork and Radiohead, mm-hmm. Chemical Brothers,
yeah.
Just a lot of really fun videos that we remember from that mm-hmm. era. Meanwhile, you know, Fletcher's scouting, you know, he's scouting the local video store. John Glasser, another actor who just pops up in this movie, is there. He's decided we're, you know, and he even tells Mike, like, we're switching DVDs. And he eventually begrudgingly allows them to continue making the, you know, their movies as well. That became a quick point of contention. We get some other scenes of them doing other movies. I love them doing Boys in the Hood.
Oh, yeah.
It's like firecrackers for gunshots, and they put like a pizza without the cheese.
Yeah,
it's like the blood splatter.
it was just creative.
Yeah.
Like, you get the point. You're not you're not convinced, but you get the point.
It gets the point across that there's a pool of blood there. It just happens to be an uncheesed pizza.
Yeah, cheeseless pizza.
Later, Mike laments with Jerry about, or is, let me start that. Mike laments how Jerry's always with Alma in the movies. There's just a fun bit about, like, her having a mustache as Mike and Alma kind of grow closer.
Yeah, because he says to her, he's like, well, Jerry's, you know, well, Jerry, she says something, I don't have a problem with your mustache. I never told you what Jerry, you know, like nobody mentioned mustache. So it was sweet, though, because you could tell that Alma needed that outlet as well.
Yes. Yeah, she kind of backed herself into a corner, and
you
get the feeling that a lot of these characters needed it as
that
well. They were just stuck in their lives,
right? And this is
of that. Yeah,
stuck is the right word. Like, they all probably had a chance to leave and just never did.
Yeah. So on behalf of the studios now, so it's not just the so in addition to them trying, you know, to race the clock to raise money, you know, so that the housing commission doesn't move them. Now the studios have caught wind of this, and Ms. Lawson, played by Sigourney Weaver, an A-lister and all this, comes by and says, we have a cease and desist order. You know, the entire film industry is crumbling because of pirates and bootleggers, you know, as she's there in her $2,000 pants.
Yeah, to which Jerry's like, we're not pirates.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, really, like, you're confused, man. Says,
we're not selling boots.
And we're not pirates.
Yeah. So they bag up all these sweeted movies that they made and run them over with a steamroller
right there in front of the neighborhood.
Yeah. As that happens, Fletcher comes out and tells Mike, you know, Fats Waller never lived here.
Right.
I kind of made all that up. That's the story that I wanted to tell.
Right.
And that's really where we kind of head into act three.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's, all the movies they've been doing were just recreations of existing movies.
Right.
But, you know, the studio can't do anything to us if it's ours. If,
yeah.
If we make it
up. If it's our story.
Yeah. And so they decide that they're going to shoot a new creation, new content, new IP.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to use this film, this real film, to raise money so that Fletcher doesn't have to relocate.
Right.
And so they decide they're going to shoot a film about the history of Fats Waller and his connection with Passaic, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so we get some more fun sequences of them shooting this. You know, we don't need a permission to make movies of our own. And, you know, they end up like stealing a train to do some things.
Are you ready? Like calling ahead, like get ready for the shot. I like where they get the old grandmotherly lady to like lay in front of that hula hoop or whatever. They pull that kid through frat being born. She's like, oh.
And it's like a 7-year-old kid that gets pulled out.
Six or seven.
And it's supposed to be like baby Fats Waller being born. But again, it's, you know, at a glance, it looks enough.
The point is made. Yes. She's giving birth.
Yes. And so they do all that. And we're near the end of the film, and the entire town, or at least the people that really had a big part.
Yeah, that were
there's
part
about 100
of it.
People showed up to the video store for screening there.
Yeah, just donate what you can.
Yeah. And as people are walking in, you know, Ms. Fallowitz walks in and she has a $20 bill. You know, she was proud to bring that, excited to bring it, and, you know, gives it to Fletcher. And he's like, I already decided.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to move. But despite how we do here, and like, we're not going to make.
Yeah, it's not going to be enough.
But we're going to enjoy this together.
Right.
Because, you know, we made this, and this is ours. This is our community.
Right.
And
even if this is the last of it, we have something to remember it.
So they end up projecting it onto like a bed sheet. They have
because they had just had like an old like a
13 inch
13 inch black and white.
Yeah,
and Jerry broke it because it's Jerry.
It's Jerry.
But they caught earlier the guy that like the manager of the videos like the DVD store.
Yeah,
caught Mike and Jerry breaking in, which was kind of a fun scene because. Like watching them try to break into this video store, not sure which window to throw through.
Breaking like the wrong window.
Yeah, they break in through the first door and then get caught in the vestibule and have to break another window. But they're trying to steal the projector.
Yeah.
And of course, this guy's sleeping like back in the adult film room.
Yeah, because like things have happened in his life.
But he's basically like, I'll fix the window if you don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
But it's enough for him to know what they were after.
Yeah.
Which luckily he shows up.
So he shows up with a projector and they project it on a bed sheet on the window.
Yeah.
And so everyone's just, they're watching it and enjoying it. There's really sweet music playing in the background. Really and then eventually Fletcher and Ms. Fallowitz step outside and the entire community is there.
Yeah. Police officers like.
Yeah. Cause it's visible outside.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, one of the other studio guys had shown up cause they were supposed to pull this building down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you've got to leave.
Yeah. So give us an hour.
If Fletcher just pulls him aside, he's not rude about it.
Yeah.
You know, he's not confrontational about it. Just give us an hour to watch this.
And there won't be a riot.
Yes. Like, and we will cooperate, you know, and we're done. And so the guy agrees to it and they watch the movie and they finish it. And you know, that's really it.
Yeah. That's the culmination.
As the community has literally and figuratively gathered around each other to watch this movie that they made together. Mm-hmm. And again, it, as it ends up, this movie really is a celebration of like the filmmaking spirit, the independent spirit. And,
as well as just the neighborhood environment. Yes. Like every neighborhood's got its differences, but if you find a common ground to come together on, like you can really enjoy the positives of what everybody in the community has to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's Be Kind Rewind. Pretty simple movie.
Oh, yeah.
With some inventive stuff.
Inventive stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, at this point in the show, folks, Oz and I will each give our own unique rating to the film in question, 2008's Be Kind Rewind. Oz, how would you rate this flick?
I'm going to give this 82 New York suburbs.
82 New York suburbs.
Yep, all 82 of them. How about you?
Let's go with... 789 Stay Puft Marshmallow Men made out of bagged marshmallows.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that. That'll be a fun image to find.
Yep. Just find it like Kraft marshmallows.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Next up, we have Outside Insights. Oz and I have scoured the interwebs searching for unprofessional reviews that tickle our funny bones, and we hope they tickle yours as well. Oz, what is your outside insight?
I have a half-star review by Angela.
Oh, she's the worst.
She is. Left back in September. Terrible. Only humor I found was some of the recreation of the films. This is just not a good film at all. Jack Black was obnoxious, and I had to stop the film several times in order to get through it. Recreation of the films are the only interesting part. What do you call a comedy film where I don't laugh? Can it still be called a comedy?
Well, because my sense of humor is the only one that dictates a film genre.
Yes, Angela. It could be called a comedy even if you don't laugh. What do you call a comedy if I don't laugh? Can it still be a comedy?
Well, I laugh.
Right, so
it's a comedy.
It's a comedy. So, sorry, Angela, you were disappointed. We disagree with your outside insight, but we appreciate you sharing it. So that was a half-star review by Angela. It was probably Angela from The Office.
It probably was. Angela Kinsey. It was actually her the real life.
Yeah, it's just real Angela Kinsey. Yeah. So what do you got for your outside insight?
My outside insight, as always, comes from the Internet Movie Database. This one was left in March 2008, so right around the time it came out. 1 out of 10 review. I don't understand how this movie is getting all these good reviews saying how charming and intellectual it is. This was probably the worst movie I've seen in my life. This movie was so poorly written, acted, and directed that it made me sick.
Okay.
And vomited everywhere. I love a good, stupid Jack Black movie as much as the next guy loved Nacho Libre. But this movie is so ridiculously stupid that I think I lost brain cells. This movie is a disgrace to cinema.
I don't think so.
No, this movie celebrates cinema.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yeah.
Including Rush Hour 2.
which is a true grace to as opposed to a disgrace.
That one is,
this movie made me sick.
I was sick.
I got COVID-19 in 2008.
Because of this film. Because
I was sick.
My hives had hives.
RSV.
You ever heard of swine flu? I gotta watch this film.
Didn't exist until this came out.
Right.
Get inoculated before you watch Be Kind Rewind.
Stupid.
All right. Well, hey, folks, it's that point in the show you've all been waiting for, our signature segment, the 3-2-1, in which Oz and I each share 3 goods, 2 bads, and 1, about the film in question. Be Kind Rewind. Hey, Oz, what are your 3 goods?
My first, and I'm going to steal the obvious one. I love the sweeted films.
Yes.
That's really the humor in the movie, surrounded by some charm and heart. But the sweeted films were just creative, inventive, and just fun to watch. My second is, I really like just the neighborhood location. Everything took place around this corner, pretty much. And just people would be in and out of the story based on the location, which was really cool. And third, it's always good to see Danny Glover working hard.
Yeah.
You know, when he went on as detective, what makes business work? It was just a fun little, side couple of scenes of watching him investigate, what's making this work?
And he was really into
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's what was fun. Yeah. There was no tongue-in-cheek involved.
Don't know anything about
it. Mr. Fletcher was real. It was a whole new world for him. Like, I never thought about investigating what actually makes businesses work. Mm-hmm. And so that was fun. Those are my 3 goods. What do you got?
Let's see. My first good, Mike's fear of disappointing Fletcher. Mm. He's really concerned.
Oh, very.
Mr. Fletcher, he left me in charge of the store for a night. And he's, even before Jerry comes in and erases the tapes, he's just so paranoid about disappointing Mr. Fletcher. I never really got into, Mike's history or anything about that. But you kind of get the impression that Fletcher's kind of a father figure.
I got that vibe
to him.
Yeah.
And so again, it's just really sweet. All the characters are sweet. Even Jerry in his own weird way.
He's
harmless.
Yeah, he is.
Despite
doing the most damage in the film.
Yes, literally. My second good is that, and I'm speculating a little bit here on this one. The most deaf character, Mike, to me, has some traits of autism, and they never gave him a label or anything like that. But whether it was intended or not, I thought there was subtext of autism to the Mike character,
okay.
And I thought it was an incredibly positive, portrayal of someone with autism, someone with, you know, who's neurodivergent. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that.
Good. And, yeah, he did a great job. Even if it wasn't part of the role, it still wasn't most deaf. Like, yes. He was acting outside of his own, whereas Jack Black was just being Jack Black.
Yeah.
He was acting.
Yeah. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it was nice.
And then my third good, behind the counter at Be Kind Rewind, was a Blast from the Past poster.
Mm-hmm. I saw that, yeah. Brendan Fraser, Alicia Silverstone movie. Yeah.
So that just stuck out.
Yeah, it was fun.
Kudos to the Blast from the Past poster.
It was a fun setup of the video store, because, like, he's trying to run this business, mm-hmm. and there literally is, like, 35 tapes available. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was, they're all forward-facing, which are going to take up more room, but they're spaced out. They're all alphabetical. There's just nothing there to watch.
Break up into genre.
Right. Yeah. It was just comical, but also pathetic. Like, oh man, like, you could tell that Fletcher's character really was learning about business, because
his eyes were getting
open. Whatever he was doing obviously wasn't working, mm-hmm. you know, for the future.
Yep, so those are my three goods. Hey, what are your two bads?
I kind of mentioned a minute ago, just one note, Jack Black. Like, yeah. He was fine in this movie, but it's still just, it's just a dose. You just need a dose of Jack Black.
Yeah.
And this was, it was the full keg. Like, it was all of Jack Black. And even in there, like, he's a credible actor. Mm-hmm. Like, he can
do it.
He can emote. Like, it's there, you know, and his line delivery, his comic timing is good. But it's still just, he never turns it off.
It gets redundant, and it even gets a little exhausting.
Yeah, it's just so much energy, and it's hard to keep up with. So that's my first bad. Mm-hmm. And the second one is just gentrification. Sure. Like, you know, it happens. It stinks. Just watching communities pushed aside so someone else can profit.
Yeah, yeah. Lose their sense of identity just so somebody can make money.
And it's not a. And it's never a situation of, we're going to dress up where you currently live and you can stay. Yeah. It's always, you've got to go.
So somebody else with more money can
get it. Yeah, because I've got money to make and I want to make it here.
Yeah.
I can buy your property for cheap and then turn a profit.
Yeah.
So, boo. Yeah. All right, what's your two bads?
My two bads, I'm going to start with, although I do enjoy this movie, it is kind of equal parts fun and boring. There are some boring sequences, there are. Especially some of the act one, act two stuff.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's just a couple of sort of nothing scenes that just really don't lend themselves to a whole lot of the movie. And so I find myself just kind of like,
come on, keep moving.
Yeah. A couple of times. So, and then my other bad is, this movie is just 15 years old, and, you know, Jerry's conspiracy theorist character was kind of, you know, he was like the neighborhood kook.
Yeah.
And, you know, 15 years later, in modern times, these, like, conspiracy theorists are celebrated and given credibility.
Yeah, so absolutely. Like, they've got anchor desks in major news studios, whereas Jerry's living in a Winnebago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's different from 2008 to 2024?
More news stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's my other bad, is how conspiracy theorists went from, like, the fringe of society to mainstream.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, ew.
Yeah.
Sorry to get a little too real.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, hey, Oz, what's your bad? Or your huh?
I mean, yeah, my huh. I can see one possible answer for my huh, but it still doesn't hold much water. It's, how did Sigourney Weaver's office find out about the store?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that early on when Jerry was trying to come into the store. Like, the suited kind of stuff is starting. No, it was when Fletcher was trying to come in. He does pass Paul Danilo's character in line, and then Paul Danilo ends up being alongside Sigourney Weaver. So there is that argument of, like, well, they kind of had him as a mole. Like,
yeah.
But even, how did he find out about the store? Like, this is just this corner store in the middle of nowhere, New Jersey, that everybody pays cash. I mean, there's no paper trail really for any of this. And then suddenly out of nowhere, like, nobody, like, I know someone's like, oh, I came from New York. Like, it's, word has spread. I understand that. But it's like, you got like
like suits coming in mm-hmm. now with bulldozers and, you know, earth flatters. Days later. Yeah, that's like, well, we got to shut this down and calculating how many years of prison Fletcher's going to have and how many billions of dollars of fines. And it's like, how did this even hit your radar?
Yes, that's a good point. It's how can your ear be that close to the ground?
Yeah, like, because this obviously was not an accredited video rental store. This was probably just tapes he's accumulated and turned to rent out. Yeah. So by that regard, he's been violating in the first place because mm-hmm. he doesn't have the permission to do it.
Yeah.
But it just was odd. Like I understood why they came in because you needed to break that cycle yeah. to get the neighborhood fully on board for the Fats Waller film. But it still was like, how'd you find this out?
Yeah. Word of mouth. It's like patient zero.
I guess. But yeah, my second almost was like, we kind of mentioned it pre-show. The first film they sweeted was Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. starring Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And then when she comes in.
She walks in, yeah.
When she walks in, you make no connection to how yeah. she looks like. It was ripe for the picking because there already had been a couple of like minor fourth wall breaks uh-huh. of looking at the camera or something like that. So it's like, this film definitely could have fit that in there and it would have felt okay yeah. or organic to it's like well, you look like the girl of Ghostbusters and then haha off we go yeah. like but they just left it so when she walks in it almost felt like a missed opportunity
not picking the low-hanging fruit
yeah yeah mm-hmm. So what's your huh?
My huh is like in the beginning of the film Mike tells Fletcher like yeah you don't have to pay me. How are they making ends meet?
I wondered like, that as well.
Both of them.
It's a dollar for a rental uh-huh. and you get it for like two nights.
Yeah. So you think at most they're making 20 bucks a day?
If.
Yeah.
Yeah, if. I mean, that's 20 bucks would rent half the video store every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So it's you wonder how either of them
right.
was able to live.
And the community had the money because when they started charging 20 bucks to suite a yeah. film, people would fight it but then pay it. Yeah. Like
supply and demand.
Yeah. So they weren't going to make enough to save the building.
Yeah.
But they were doing quite well for themselves at 20 bucks a pop with dozens of rentals a day.
Yeah.
They're turning these movies out quick, too.
It's quick production.
Give me till 4 o'clock and yeah. I'll have this movie
for you. RoboCop.
Who's watching the store while yeah. you guys are out? You know, like, I don't know.
Yep. So that is Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah, fun film.
Yeah. Hey, Oz, what do we got next week as we continue with rhyming titles?
We are back we're still in the rhyming titles, mm-hmm. and we are going to be watching another comedy.
Yeah.
Actually starring, we mentioned Upright Citizens Brigade, and we mentioned mm-hmm. like The Strangers with Candy Cast. The movie we're covering has neither of any of those crossovers. We are going to be watching Super Troopers.
Yes.
The Broken Lizard, really the one that put them on the map.
Yeah, and the one that's kept them on the map.
The one that's over kept 20 years later. Yeah, it is. It's definitely funded a lot of other vehicles for them.
Yes, some okay, some not.
Yeah, yeah, but they do what they do. So yeah, but we'll be watching Super Troopers mm-hmm. with Linda Carter herself,
with Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and Brian Cox and and the rest of the crew. But it's just a hilarious film. Hilarious film. So
Jim Gaffigan.
Oh yeah, I forgot. He's just like the young Jim Gaffigan. Yeah, just the driver.
Yep, Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
Grandmama.
So but yeah, we'll be back with Super Troopers for next week. Mm-hmm. Social media wise, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Patreon link down below. We are holding true
mm-hmm.
and we will be having bonus episodes. So if you've been wondering like why would I donate to Patreon? Bonus episodes.
Yep.
Not only do you get your name mentioned. Which, did we mention names earlier? Patreon subscribers, Don S., Aaron A., did we get them?
I honestly don't remember if we heard that. We'll mention you again anyway. You
join the list of Patreon subscribers named Don S., Mandy K., Aaron A., and Melissa L. And
Patreon subscriber Melissa L.
Yeah, Patreon subscriber Melissa. Yeah, you could join that. And with the two tiers, the $3 tier, get your name mentioned. The $6 tier, get your name mentioned. And access to the monthly bonus episodes.
Yep. And allows you to give us gifts as well.
Yeah, and you could always send us gifts.
Yeah.
The bonus episode format, for those that may not understand, is it's an audio. It's not a video. Just an audio pod bonus whatever of we find like a movie generator and just randomize a film whether we've seen it or not, we just talk about it.
Yep, we take 10 minutes and just talk about a movie that we may or may not have seen.
Yeah, it's all out of nowhere, like completely randomized, and we just talk about it and have a good old time.
Yep.
So, but yeah, social media is where you can find us, and then next week, we'll be back Super Troopers.
Yeah, we'll hit Super Troopers next week.
That one will probably be back in the typical format.
Probably.
Yeah, typical format. We won't be partnered up next to each other. This was a nice New Year's gift to you all.
Yes.
First couple episodes being
the torture for me.
Myself as well. So, all right. Well, we'll see you guys next week, Super Troopers.
Bye.